This is side 4, the WindowEyes 4.2 tutorial. So it's pretty important to keep the window maximized. I see no advantage to someone who cannot see the screen to have a window that's not maximized. A sighted person might have the benefit of being able to look at several different screens at once, but a blind person, what they would typically do would just be to maybe Alt-Tab between the applications to get them. So you still have to hit a command to go between the applications. Now there may be cases when maybe you need the mouse to be reading relative to one place and the caret relative to another, and in that case it would be very beneficial to a blind person to have the windows not be maximized so that you can be reading from one application while you're maybe typing into another application. So there are cases for it, but typically you'll want it maximized, and that's what we suggest. So the way to maximize an application is do an Alt space,
space,
but
R equals restore disabled.
Instead of hitting R for restore, you want to hit X for maximize. So I'll hit X.
X. Menu close.
And now do my Control Shift T.
Sec01.txt WordPad maximized.
And now we're maximized. So we're back to maximized again. So if you walk up to a computer system cold or after you've been away for a while and you want to know where you are, Control Shift T is probably the first command you might want to hit to see what application you're in. And then Control Shift S maybe to see what control you're in within that window. Another command is marked block. After you've selected some text in your word processor, and maybe you want to reread what currently is selected, Control Shift M for marked text will reread that text to you. Another nice command is field name. Let me go back into the open dialog. I'm going to do an Alt F.
F.
And then O for open.
Seat O. Menu closed. Combo edit box N equals file name.
I'm going to hit the Control key to silence that. But I want to know what field name I'm currently in. We know Control Shift S is speak summary, and that will read the data that I'm sitting on, but I want to know what the field name was again. In my case, it's file name. So let me hit Control Shift N for field name.
N equals file name.
I can hit it again.
N equals file name.
It's just going to keep reading me the field name. Let me tab one time.
Combo box. T equals files of type. Rich text format dot RTF 3 of 7.
So files of type is the field name. Let me do Control Shift N.
T equals files of type.
And it reads it again. The next command is field data. Field data is very similar to speak summary in that it will read the data of the current control. But it's different in that it's not quite as intelligent as Control Shift S for speak summary. Speak summary will read the highlighted information within the control and not necessarily everything in the control, where the field data will read everything that's visible in the control. Let's go back to my Windows Explorer example when we were on the list view, all of the files that were showing within the folder I selected in that tree view. All of those files that are there would be read if I did Control Shift D because it's going to read me everything that's visible for that control. But Speak Summary would only read the item or items that are highlighted within that list view. So it's a more intelligent way of reading it, but sometimes it may not read you information that might be important. So we left you Control Shift D to read all of the data of that particular control. Another nice command is just the time and date. If you do Insert T, if you hold down the Insert key on your computer keyboard and press the letter T, I'll do that now.
12:50 a.m. on February 25.
Okay, so it just reads you the time and date, and that time and date is based on your system clock. If your system clock isn't set correctly, then it's not going to read the right time, but it will read what it is set for. Another nice command is we've been talking about a lot of these commands that you can press that will cause WindowEyes to do something. And when you press them, the application won't know that those keys were even pressed. That's good and bad. Let's say that I have a command that is also the same command for my word processor or the application I'm in. Let's just say Insert T, which was my time and date command, is also a command in WordPad, which it's not, but let's say that it is. We try to keep these conflicts to a minimum if at all possible, but let's say there is a conflict. And you want Insert T to do the WordPad command, not to read the time and date. Well, there's a couple things you can do. One, if you never use time and date, you could go into WindowEyes and undefine the time and date keystroke so that it's not even used. So in other words, WindowEyes would ignore Insert T and WordPad would just do its thing. Or you could go into WindowEyes and say, okay, I like time and date, but it conflicts with my Insert T for WordPad, so let's change it to something else. And you could go into WindowEyes and very easily change it to something else. And in a later section, we'll show you how you can do that. Or, If it's a keystroke that you don't use a lot in WordPad, and you like our default of insert T for time and date, you can just hit the bypass command. Insert B, which I'll hit now,
bypass,
will say the word bypass, meaning the next hotkey that you press that's a WindowEyes hotkey, WindowEyes will ignore and send the keystroke on through to the application. So now I could do my insert T, and WordPad would then see that keystroke. I'm not going to do that because I'm not sure what insert T does inside WordPad. But it would allow insert T to go through, and the time and date would not be spoken. So the bypass is just a quick way to get past a keyboard conflict that you might have. And because WindowEyes has so many keys, so many hotkeys, and so many combinations of things, there will be those times when there are those conflicts. So it's kind of nice to have that in your bag of tricks that you can deal with. So these are some miscellaneous reading commands. There are plenty more commands that are available, but these are the hot ones that you might be using throughout your normal computing session. Let's go on to the next section. The WindowEyes Control Panel. The WindowEyes Control Panel offers a wealth of features and options. Again, WindowEyes is extremely easy to configure to your specific likes and wants. Part of this ease of use comes from options like what are in the WindowEyes Control Panel. You don't need to learn complicated scripting languages to configure WindowEyes. Since WindowEyes is no different than any other application that is currently running, you can get to the control panel by simply alt-tabbing to it, or better yet, you can use the built-in menu command. Anytime, you can simply press control backslash and the WindowEyes control panel will be displayed. For a complete list of all the options, you should refer to the WindowEyes user's manual. This tutorial will discuss some of the more basic options. I'm currently sitting at my Windows XP desktop and WindowEyes is not running, so let's go ahead and start it up. If you remember from an earlier session, we can just simply press Ctrl-Alt-W and WindowEyes will come up. So I'm going to hold down the Ctrl and Alt keys and tap the W key.
WindowEyes 4.2.
And there you have it. WindowEyes came up. So that Ctrl-Alt-Delete is a very nice way to just bring WindowEyes up at any point. Now that actually ran WindowEyes, but it didn't bring up the control panel. And as I just said, like any Windows application, you can Alt-Tab around to get to the control panel, or you can press the control backslash key to pop it up. I'm going to use control backslash because that's the much quicker way of bringing up WindowEyes. So I'm going to press control and then backslash.
WindowEyes Active Explorer .000 Associated Explorer .000.
Like any application that comes to the foreground, WindowEyes will read the title bar of that application. In this case, WindowEyes came up to the top of the screen. It just takes up the top few lines of the screen, and the title bar is WindowEyes. And in parentheses, it says Active Explorer.000, and it said Associated Explorer.000. I'm not going to get into detail of what that Active and Associated means, but basically that's telling you what current set file or what settings that have been saved to disk are currently being used and which ones have been associated to this particular application that you're in. Well, I'm sitting at the desktop, so it's using the Explorer set files, which have been associated and they're currently being used. Again, this is covered much better in the manual, but for this basic tutorial, I think that's enough. Now, once WindowEyes is to the foreground, again, like any, pretty much any Windows application, it's going to have a menu bar. This is just a list of options that go horizontally across the screen immediately underneath the title bar. And to get to any menu bar of an application, you can simply press the Alt key, and that will highlight the first option. So I'm going to just simply press the Alt key and let go.
F equals file pull down.
So that said F equals file pull down. So that just simply read the first option. It tells me that it's a pull down. I'm just going to go through these options sequentially from left to right, and we're just going to cover some of the basic options under each menu. There's going to be a lot of options that we're going to skip for this tutorial, but of course everything is covered in detail in the WindowEyes manual. To open up any of these pull down menus, because if I wanted to, I could just arrow right and go to the next option on the menu bar. But if I want to pull down one of these pull-down menus and see the options within this option, in other words, see the options under the file menu, I can simply either hit the down arrow key or hit enter. I kind of like the enter key because the enter key always works. The down arrow key will only work if it's a pull-down menu. And as you'll shortly see, WindowEyes has some options that are more than just pull-down. So I'm going to hit enter to open up the file menu.
O equals open pull down.
Okay, the first one is an open and it's again a pull down. What this will let you do is, I'm not going to get into too much detail on this one, but this one will let you open up another set file, a settings file, a configuration file for WindowEyes. And maybe you want to to manually load one in and tweak it a little bit or whatever you want to do, this is where you can do that. Or you can load any of the dictionaries. There's a character dictionary, a key label dictionary, an exception dictionary for mispronounced words, and there's a graphic dictionary. So you can open any of those dictionaries as well as a set file from this pull down, the open pull down. I'm going to go down.
C equals close pull down.
Close is simply the opposite of open. It will close down any of those dictionaries or close the association of a set file. Again, I'm going to skip over that.
S equals save pull down.
Save is basically the same thing that you'd expect. It's going to save a settings file or it's going to save some sort of dictionary. Go down again.
A equals save as.
A equals save as, which is a pull down. That again just opens up similar to the save, only it prompts you for a file name before it just does the save.
D equals edit dictionaries pull down.
The edit dictionaries, we didn't get into the dictionaries. I'm just going to open this up just so we can see it. So again, to open up a pull down, I'm going to hit enter.
C equals character dictionary dialog.
So there's the character dictionary dialog. I'll down arrow.
K equals key label dictionary dialog.
Key label dictionary dialog. One more.
E equals exception dictionary dialog.
So those are the three dictionaries that you can edit from here. So if you have a character dictionary, maybe instead of hearing bang for the exclamation point, which is how we define it, from the factory, simply because it's one syllable versus exclamation point. If you'd rather hear exclamation point, you could go into the character dictionary and you could say, when I see this character, which is the exclamation point, say this, and you could type in any string at all to say. A key label dictionary simply gives a label to a particular key. Let's say in your application, Control Home takes you to the top of your document. Well, maybe you want to say top of document, as well as go to the top of the document. So you could give that a key label, so when you press Control Home, WindowWise will kick in just long enough to say beginning of document, and then of course the keystroke goes through to the application and it does what it's supposed to do, meaning move the caret to the top of the document. That's just one example, but there's lots of times when you may want to label a keystroke. And then the final one is exception dictionary. That's simply if there's a word that's mispronounced. Maybe IBM comes out IBM, and that just kind of drives you nuts after a while. So you could put in an exception dictionary for IBM and tell it to pronounce it I space B space M. So it then would say IBM when it sees the word IBM. The manual, of course, covers all the dictionaries and how to manipulate them in much more detail. There's also a graphic dictionary that's not included here simply because in order to label graphics, you need to have the mouse pointer on the graphic, and it doesn't make sense to be able to do that from the file pull-down menu. So I'm still sitting in the Edit Dictionaries pull-down, which is, of course, a sub-menu of the File pull-down menu. But I want to go back to the File menu options, so I'm going to hit the Escape key to go back one level in the menus.
Menu closed. D equals Edit Dictionaries pull-down.
Okay, so now I'm back in the File menu on the Edit Dictionaries entry. If I were to hit Enter, that menu would pull down again. But let me go down.
W equals Window Information dialog.
I'm going to skip Window Information.
V equals Active File List dialog.
I'm skipping Active File List.
E equals Set to Text.
Set to Text is just a utility that will take a set file or a settings file, which is kind of a compiled version that only the machine can read, only WindowWise can read, and converts it into a text file. So you can take a set file, convert it to a text file, and be able to read through it. And then you have the options of manipulating that settings file with a text version so that you can actually read it. It's kind of a utility. Again, the manual covers that.
T equals Text to Set.
That's the next down arrow. Text to set is the reverse of that. It will take a text file and compile it down into a set file. It also gives you the ability of taking, maybe you like this particular setting and you want to make it over all of your settings files. Well, you can use text to set to do that. You could take let's say you like a screen rate of 5 in set files. You can just globally change all of that stuff using text to set. There's a better way to change actually the rate, pitch, tone, and volume parameters. There's a much better way of doing that, but that's just an example. Maybe better is you like your keyboard to speak words instead of letters. So you want to change all of your set files to word mode in the keyboard menu. Well, you could do that very easily through text to set. I'm going to go down again.
N equals convert sets to current format.
Convert sets to current format. If somebody gives you an old set file, you could go all the way back to WindowWise 1.0, which was way back in October of 1995. Somebody could give you a set file for that. Running this convert sets to current format would take that old format, which is not compatible with your current copy of WindowWise, and convert it up to your current copy. Every version of WindowWise that has come out has always been compatible with previous sets. You just have to convert it up to the current format. Once you do convert it up, there's no going back to a previous version. Let's go down again.
U equals set active user dialog.
I'm going to come back to this one. Set active user, one more down.
M equals multi-user information, dialog.
And multi-user information. So set active user and multi-user information. These options may or may not be enabled on your system depending on how you are configured. But what this allows you to do is have multiple users for your current copy of WindowEyes. Remember all these settings files that I'm talking about. And remember I told you that you could set the rate and the pitch and the volume and the tone for your particular liking. Well, let's say you have somebody else come to the computer and they don't like your rate, pitch, tone, and volume that you've set up. Well, you guys would be fighting each other all the time every time you log in. Or if you're on a network system, maybe you've got multiple people coming in on the same computer, same network, different computers, different client systems, and you want to have unique settings. So when John logs in, he'll have his settings, and when Sally logs in, she'll have her settings. Well, this multi-user information is what allows you to do that. You can have multiple users within WindowEyes. And when those users log in, WindowEyes will automatically switch to their environments. So it makes it an excellent way, especially in network environments, to have multiple users and keep those users unique without affecting the other users. Okay, let's go down.
F equals select set file dialog.
Select set file dialog. I want to spend a little time on this one. I'm going to go ahead and hit enter on this.
Menu closed. List box. F equals factory set files dialog select set file to install or uninstall close F equals fact.
I'm going to go ahead and silence this, but this popped up the select set file to install or uninstall dialog. It closed my menu out, as you heard it say menu closed, and popped up this dialog. This dialog allows you to reload factory set files. Remember when we went through the installation of WindowEyes, I said don't worry if you didn't pick something exactly right. We had to pick set files and braille displays and synthesizers and all of that. And I said that at any point, you could change any of that if you decided to later. Well, when you installed WindowEyes, by default, it gave you all of the set files for the most current versions of applications that we have. So in other words, Office XP was the current version of Office, and that set file was chosen by default, not the Office 2000 and not the Office 97 or the Office 95 set files. But let's say you do have Office 2000 instead of Office XP. Well, you don't have to uninstall and reinstall WindowEyes to get to those set files. You simply come to the Select Set File option, and you would go down to the Office 2000 option and hit Enter, and those set files would install. You can also uninstall set files. So if you decide, oh, I'm never going to use Office XP, you could select Office XP, go down to the Uninstall option, and it would remove those set files. But the factory set files are always there and always ready to be used. So even though you uninstall Office XP, that means you're only uninstalling it for the current user. Remember, we have multiple user potentials too. So if whatever user you're logged in as, you've just uninstalled those set files. But the factory set files are always there. You can always reload them back in. So that's kind of nice because that gives you the flexibility of going in and maybe playing with some of the WindowEyes options. And if you get yourself into trouble, you can just go back in and reload the factory sets back in for whatever application that you were playing with. And boom, you're right back to where you started after the installation. These set files cannot be changed. They're always there, so it makes it very nice. One other thing this dialog allows you to do is read the README information for each of the set files. And the reason this is important is because each of the set files have been configured a certain way. And in order to get the full optimized version of these set files so that you can use them, the README file will go through and tell you how you should configure the application or what keys are available while you're in the application, that type of thing. Let's just go look at the Office 2000 sets. I'm sitting in a list box of all of the set files that we currently ship with WindowEyes, and your list may vary from what mine is because it's always being updated. And of course, we always have set files on our webpage as well. But these set files actually shipped with your copy of WindowEyes on your CD. These are all in alphabetical order. You can either go through them one line at a time, or you can start typing out the option. And I'm just going to keep hitting, I'm going to start typing in Office.
OF, Office 2000 Word, Excel, Outlook 38 of 73.
Okay, in my case, I have 73 sets. I'm sure your version is going to have more. But I'm sitting at the Office 2000 option, and it says it has Word, Excel, and Outlook. If I were to hit Enter, those set files would install, overriding any existing Word 2000 sets that I'm, or rather Office 2000 sets that I may have. But before we install them, I want to read the README file. After you select the item you want, if you tab once,
read only edit box, A equals application information version Microsoft Office 2000 Word, Excel, Outlook setup graphics labeled for Windows 98 256 16-bit, 256 icons.
I'm going to silence this, but it goes through all of the settings and keystrokes that are available for these particular settings files. It makes it an excellent way to make sure that everything is configured the way that it is. So if you're using an application, I strongly suggest you go in here and you take a look at the setting just to make sure that your application is configured correctly. Remember when we were using Microsoft Word XP, we went in and we had to make sure some settings were done. Well, I knew that those had to be done because I read that in this README file, and it will walk you through step by step of what needs to be done in order to do that. The nice thing is, too, you're in this read-only edit box. Since it's an edit box, that means you have a blinking caret, so you can go line by line, letter by letter, because you can use your arrow keys just like you were in a word processor. But because it's read-only, you can't actually change the text. We've done that on purpose because, again, we don't want you modifying our factory sets. So I can just down arrow one line at a time. I'll down arrow.
Microsoft Office 2000 Word, Excel, Outlook.
I'll just keep going down
separate
a few to get
windows.
To... Here's some more
Microsoft Word
important 2000. Information.
Make sure that these, and only these, toolbars are checked under the View, Toolbars Pulldown, Standard, Formatting.
So it told us under the View, Toolbars Pulldown, we want to make sure only Standard and Formatting are checked. So when we launch Word, we could go into the View menu, go to the Toolbars Pulldown, and look, and make sure that only Standard and Formatting are checked. And then we can go on and on and on. I can also go letter by letter if I want to use the right arrow key.
T-A-N-D-A-R-D.
And we already learned some of our keystrokes that could read relative to the caret. If I want to read the current word and spell it or whatever, we know all those keys that we can do. Let's just tab out of this particular edit box, go to the next control.
Button I equals install.
The install button, which is the default button, that's why if you hit enter on this, once you selected a particular set file and you hit enter, that set file would immediately install because the install is the default button. Or you could tab to it and hit enter as I've just done. Tab again.
Button. U equals uninstall.
This is how you actually uninstall that particular set file. So you select what you want, hit uninstall, and it would remove it from your user's settings files. Tab again.
Button cancel.
And cancel just gets you out. And then one more tab would take you back to the list box of available factory set files and on and on. So this is an excellent way to get back to the settings from the factory that it might get you out of some trouble at times, or maybe you just didn't install correctly when you first installed WindowEyes. So I'm going to go ahead and hit enter on cancel because I don't really want to do anything here. So I'm going to hit enter.
WindowEyes Active Explorer 0.000.
I'm going to silence that. That took me back to the WindowEyes control panel, but I'm out of the menus now. So I'm going to go ahead and hit Alt to go back into the menu.
F equals file
hit
pull
enter
down.
To open up file.
O equals open pull down.
And I'm going to down arrow real quickly to get back down to where we were. We were on... select set file. So I'm going to go down real quick.
F equals select set file dialog.
And here's the next one down.
Y equals select synthesizer dialog.
Select synthesizer. This is another option that you saw during the installation of WindowEyes. This dialog looks exactly like what the installation dialog for select synthesizer looked like. So here is where you would go in and change synthesizers if you wanted to actually change to a different synthesizer. And an example of this is, let me go ahead and hit enter on this.
Menu closed. List box.
I'm going to silence the dialog, but this looks just like it did under the installation, except there are a couple other options that I'm not going to cover here that kind of talk about how to use a backup synthesizer or how you can save speech parameters per synthesizer. So let's say I'm using a DeckTalk and I like a rate of 5, but I'm using Sappy Eloquence, which is what I'm doing now, and I like a rate of 7. Well, if I like switching between those synthesizers, I don't want to have to keep changing my rate every time I switch. So I can tell WindowEyes, when I'm using this synthesizer, use these speech parameters. When I'm using this synthesizer, use these speech parameters. Makes it really nice for jumping around. But I'm sitting inside the synthesizer selection list box here, and I'm going to just hit D until I get to DeckTalk Access 32.
D. DeckTalk Access 32.
Luckily, that only took one press. I'm going to hit Enter here.
WindowEyes Active Explorer 0.000 Associated Explorer 0.000.
It was that easy. Now I'm using the DeckTalk voice synthesizer as opposed to the Eloquence. I happen to have DeckTalk already installed and running, but whatever synthesizer, if I had a DeckTalk Express hooked up to my COM port, I could go in there and select it and I would immediately switch to it. Doesn't matter how you installed WindowEyes or what synthesizer you chose during the installation, you can always come back to this dialog and you can always switch to any synthesizer you want. So you don't have to think about it when you do the installation. I'm going to go back into File and switch back to Eloquence just because that's our default synthesizer. So I'm going to do an Alt F. And Y was the shortcut. So I'm going to hit Y for Select Synthesizer.
Y. Menu closed.
I'm going to silence that. I'm back in my synthesizer selection dialog, and I was on SAPI before, so I'm going to hit S.
S, SAPI, 12 of 16.
And SAPI, remember, is actually just the type of synthesizer. There are several SAPI engines, so once I select SAPI, then I can tab again, and I would see all of the SAPI engines that are on my current machine. And remember, with Eloquence, every language that you installed in U.S. English came in by default. There are five voices. So for U.S. English, I get Grandpa, Grandma, Reed, Sandy, and Shelley. And then for other languages, you'll get five others. And Microsoft has their voices, and maybe you've got some other SAPI engines installed. So you may not even realize some of the SAPI engines you have on your machine. So you could come down here and move up and down, and you can listen to what the options are. Some of them, you've got to be a little bit careful, are not that practical to really use. Some of them, like I think Microsoft has some, mic in space or something, where it's very echoey as it does. It's very cute, but not practical. So you want to be a little bit careful you don't pick something too crazy where you can't even understand it in order to switch back to something else. I'm going to go ahead and hit enter on this to select SAPI so that we'll go back to SAPI.
Window Eyes Active Explorer point zero.
I'll silence that. We're back in SAPI mode now. So again, it's very quick to switch synthesizers. I'm going to go back in the file menu because there's a couple more options I want to show you there. I'm going to do an Alt F. I'm going to down arrow quickly.
F-E-Y equals select synthesizer.
That's where we just were. I'm going to go one more.
B equals select braille display dialog.
Select braille display. This is, and I won't even go into this dialog, but this dialog is exactly like what we saw during the installation. It gives you a list of all the braille displays, and there's a lot of them that WindowEyes supports. You can go down and pick whatever one you want. You may have to tell it what port it's connected to. Hit enter, and WindowEyes will start using that braille display. So it's very simple to switch synthesizers, braille displays, bring back factory sets, all without worrying about it, all without having to go back through the install again. I'm going to go down to the next option.
L equals load before startup off.
Load before startup is, remember, one of the options at the very end of the WindowEyes installation, you were asked how you wanted to start up WindowEyes. One of the options was don't start it up automatically, so you could just boot up and do Control-Alt-W to start WindowEyes if you wanted to. Or go into the startup group, which is the default option. So if you did a quick install, you're going to get it in the startup group. And the third option was load before startup. The load before startup is used for cases where you have a network, where you've got to log in. And if you have WindowEyes load in the startup group, it wouldn't load in time to speak your login prompt. Some people prefer that. Some people don't. If you want it to speak your login prompt, you could hit enter on this option, and it will turn it on. And so the next time you restart, WindowEyes will come up much earlier in the Windows booting up phase so that it can read that network dialog for you. I'll go down again.
X equals exit dialog.
The last option in the file menu is the exit option. This would actually prompt you, are you sure you want to shut down WindowEyes? If you say yes, WindowEyes will unload from memory. So that's one way to get out of WindowEyes. A quicker way is like any application, once you have it in the foreground, meaning with WindowEyes you can do control backslash, I like to just press Alt F4, and then it prompts me, are you sure? I say Y, enter, and it's out, as opposed to bringing up the file menu and going down to the exit option. It's just a quicker way of doing it. So we're done with the file menu. We skipped over a lot of options, but we talked about several of them there. I'm going to hit Escape to go back up to the menu bar. I'm going to close down the file menu, but stay on the file option. One Escape.
Menu closed, F equals file pull down.
So I can use the right arrow key to go to the next option.
S equals screen pull down.
Remember back when we were talking about the parameters, we told you that there were three voices. We have the screen voice, the keyboard voice, and the mouse voice. The screen voice is used to read information that's on the screen. The keyboard is used to read keys that you press from the keyboard. And the mouse reads information relative to the mouse. As the mouse pointer moves over text or the mouse pointer itself changes, things like that are read with the mouse voice. So these three options are here. We're on screen, the next is keyboard, and the next is mouse. The first few options of each of these menus is very, very similar, and so I'm only going to talk about it in one of these, and I'll briefly talk on the others when we see them. And then we'll talk about the unique options under each of the voices themselves. So I'm going to hit enter to open up screen.
V equals voice global disabled.
Notice it said V equals voice global disabled. Voice is whether or not you want the screen voice on or off. I'm going to talk about what it means by why it's disabled and why it's global here in a second. Let's go down to the next.
R equals rate global disabled.
Rate is global and disabled.
P equals pitch global disabled.
Pitch is global and disabled.
T equals tone global disabled.
Tone is the same way.
O equals volume global disabled.
And volume is the same way. Rate, pitch, tone, and volume are just the four parameters that you can set up to your personal taste for screen. But since they're global and disabled, you're saying, well, how can I change them? And the nice thing is, remember we have all these factory set files. All of these, there were, I don't remember how many were on my current CD, and there's, I don't know how many are on our webpage right now. The problem is let's say that somebody created a set file. Let's say it's us, and we set the default rate to 5 for all of our set files. But you like a rate of 7. Well, then you'd have to load all of our factory sets in, you'd have to bring in each one of them, and you'd have to manually change the rate on each one of them from 5 to 7, and that's just not practical. So what we've done is we've given you this global scheme to where you can tell WindowEyes, okay, instead of using a specific rate, pitch, tone, and volume for this particular set file, I'm going to say I want to use the global rate, pitch, and tone instead. That's actually an option in the setting file itself. So the set file holds a parameter that says use my specific settings to this set file or use the global settings. All of our factory sets are set to the global, which means if you change the global parameters, you automatically change the rate, pitch, tone, and volume for all of the set files that you get from GW Micro. So it's a much, much nicer way of being able to globally and quickly change the rate, pitch, tone, and volume. But maybe you've got one little application that you really want it slower because you have a hard time understanding it, it's throwing a lot of data at you or something, and maybe for that one application, you want to slow the rate, pitch, and tone, or slow the rate down, for instance. Well, you can do that. You can just say for this set file, and you can specify any number of set files, you can say for that particular set file, use my specific settings that are stored with that set file. And you can change that. So when that one settings file comes in for that one particular application, WindowEyes would slow down for you. And then when you Alt-Tab or you close it down or you go to another application, then the other set file would load back in. It says use global parameters, and boom, it's off using the global parameters. So this is true for screen voice, keyboard voice, and mouse voice. And we're going to show you how you can actually change the global parameters. I showed you on the keyboard how you could do it. You could use the insert with those four dedicated arrow keys to first select the voice you want to change, then the parameter, and then adjust the parameter itself. But I didn't tell you how you could save those parameters to disk. Well, we're going to get to that. There's another menu up here called Global, which will allow us to do those particular global settings that we've been talking about. Okay, let's go through the rest of the screen options.
U equals punctuation pull down.
Punctuation is a pull down. That allows you to set how much punctuation you want to be read. I'll just open it real quickly here by Enter.
T equals textual off.
The first option is textual, and it's set to off, meaning when you're reading information from the screen, don't read me textual punctuation. Textual is something you would see in normal writing. Period, comma, exclamation point, colon, semicolon, something you would see in normal writing. And we don't want those read. You don't want to hear, this is a test, period. How are you doing, period. I am fine, period. You don't want to hear that stuff unless you're proofing a document. And you can turn that on if you do want to proof it. But for normal reading, you'd want it off, and we've done that for all of our factory sets. Go down again.
A equals math off.
Then another category is math. You can actually turn off just the math symbols, which are plus, minus, parentheses, those types of things. And then we have a miscellaneous category, which is kind of all the others. Maybe a tilde or an ampersand, the vertical bar, the braces and brackets, those types of things would be in the miscellaneous section. And then there's also a space, which is all by itself, so you can just have spaces on or off. You turn them on, watch out, you're going to go nuts hearing all those spaces, but for proofing, maybe that's important. And then you also have, we have two options for control and enhanced, which I'm not going to talk about those two. But all of these settings are currently off for the screen voice, but you can turn them on so you'd hear the whole group, or you could say dictionary only, meaning only read me a character in this group if it's been defined in the dictionary. So just because maybe you want to hear period of textual, but you don't want to hear all the other textual elements, doesn't mean you either have them all on or all off. You could set it to a dictionary only option, which says only read me textual characters that are in the dictionary. So there's a lot of flexibility in these options. I'm going to escape back to the screen menu.
Menu closed. U equals punctuation pull down.
I'll go down.
N equals numbers on.
Do you want to hear numbers? Do you want to hear 1, 2, 3? Or do you want to hear 123? If the numbers is on, you'll also hear dates in a better fashion. You'll hear times in a better fashion. And dollars and cents. If there's a dollar sign there, it'll say $35.10 versus dollar sign 35 period 10 or something like that. Go down again.
C equals capitalization alert off.
Capitalization alert. Do you want to know of capitalization problems? For instance, there are three possible things that could happen. A word could be all lowercase, it could be all uppercase, or it could be mixed. And WindowEyes can tell you all that information. It can do that either through a tone, or it can do it through saying the word cap. Let's say it would say cap test. That would tell you that the first letter is capitalized. If it says cap cap test, that means it's all uppercase. Or it could say cap cap cap, meaning it's mixed case. Or you can use just the pitch of the voice. So for instance, I could hear test, meaning it's lowercase. I could hear test, meaning the first letter. Or I could hear test, meaning that it's all upper. Or I could hear test, if that's higher pitch, I'm not sure. Then that means that it's mixed. Some people prefer the pitch just because it's not throwing in all the extra verbiage. You have control over that. By hitting enter here, it will pop up a dialog. You can pick whatever control or capitalization alert you'd prefer. Down arrow.
F equals format alert off.
Format alert is used to tell you if a line is indented or if there's multiple spaces within a line. So anytime a line is indented, and you can specify to WindowEyes what's considered indented, because some applications start every line already indented, and so you don't want to hear that for every line. So you can go to a line that's not indented, hit a keystroke, and WindowEyes will lock in on that line, and from that point on, anything to the left or right will be considered outdented or indented. And also, if it's reading across and there's multiple spaces, more than one space within your line, it will stop and tell you that there are five spaces. So it might say, this is five spaces a test, telling you that there were five spaces in there. Let's go down again.
H equals spell alphanumeric off.
Spell alphanumeric is something for, especially ham radio operators would like this. If your call is KA9RUK, you don't want to hear K9ROK. You'd rather hear KA9RUK. So if you come across a word that has alpha and numeric, you can either spell it or you can either try to pronounce it. So it's currently off, meaning it will try to pronounce it.
X equals split mixed case words off.
Split mixed case words is just if you want to, programming languages especially will use single words with multiple words rather with no spaces in them, but they'll usually capitalize the beginning of each word. And without a space in there, you can get a lot of mispronunciations or things can be very confusing. So in this case, what WindowEyes would do is it would actually break up those words at those capitalization points, so it would read much nicer.
I equals line filter pull down.
Line filter, I'm going to skip over pretty, but I'll just say real quickly what that's used for is if you're using email especially and a quote comes through, it usually puts like a greater than or some special symbol at the beginning of each line that's been previously quoted. Well, you can tell WindowEyes, ignore lines that start with this particular character or have this character within the first five characters of the line or something like that. So WindowEyes can be informed to just skip that. So you're only going to read the new information and not all the quoted information that comes through on an email message.
E equals repeat filter off.
Repeat filter is nice if you just want to get rid of repeating characters. You can say if the star repeats more than three times, just ignore it. Or tell me star repeats five times instead of saying star, 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 whatever. I can control that.
L equals repeat value three.
Repeat value is how many times it has to repeat to be considered repeating. So in my case, I have to have at least three of a character in a row to be considered a repeating string, and then I can do whatever I want. In my case, repeat filter is turned off, so it wouldn't treat it any different whether it's repeating or not. Down again.
B equals blank lines off.
When WindowEyes is asked to read a line and it's blank, do you want WindowEyes to say blank? In a word processor, that's very, very nice, and others maybe not. It defaults to off for most applications, but in word processors, you'll see that we have this on. Down again.
S equals signal caret position off.
Signal caret position is used to just, if you're reading across the line and it comes across the caret, WindowEyes will stop, say caret, and continue on. It's just a nice way to let you know that the caret is at that position. Down again.
A equals attribute changes off.
Attribute changes is used to tell WindowEyes whether or not you want to hear attribute changes in the text. So as you're reading across the line and all of a sudden you come to a bolded word, WindowEyes will stop, say bold, read the word, stop, say normal, and go back on. Anytime there's an attribute, meaning a bold, italic, underline, strike through, it will stop and say it. Or if there's a font change, or a font size change, or a color change within it, WindowEyes will stop and read you that information. You can also control, through our verbosity menu, which I'll be talking about a little later, exactly what you want WindowEyes to consider while it's looking for attribute changes. Maybe you don't care about color, or font sizes or font styles. Maybe you only care about bold or those types of things. Well, you can tell WindowEyes, just only tell me bold changes. Ignore everything else, or whatever. You have control over that. Next item on screen.
D equals read paragraph style auto.
Read paragraph style is used for some synthesizers as it's reading text. At the end of each line, it will inherently put a slight pause. And that's annoying for a lot of people if you're reading lots of text. Some synthesizers don't have this problem. Most of them don't. But like DeckTalks or even Eloquence, they have this slight pause at the end of every line. So you can set read paragraph style so that WindowWise will pack all of these lines together and just kind of separate them by a space so that the synthesizer sees them as one big paragraph and doesn't give you that pause at the end of every line. So the DeckTalks, especially in the Eloquence synthesizers, a lot of the Sappy synthesizers, this is a nice feature. Auto just says do it when you think it's handy. On says do it all the time. And off says don't do it at all. So maybe you've got a synthesizer like a sounding board or an accent or something. Some of the older synthesizers that were designed for blind users, they don't have that pause. They were designed for speed, and they don't need this feature at all. Okay, that's the last option on the screen menu. So we're going to go hit escape to go back to screen.
Menu closed as equals screen pull down.
Then right arrow to go over to keyboard.
K equals keyboard pull down.
We'll hit enter to open up the keyboard submenu.
V equals voice global disabled.
The first five are the exact same as the screen. The voice, rate, pitch, tone, and volume. They're all set to global, meaning we're using the global parameters, which we haven't seen yet, but we will talk about in a little bit. So I'm going to skip those and go right down to the next option after volume.
RPTO equals punctuation pull down.
Punctuation is again the same as it was under screen, only this time you'll find that our defaults are on for most of the keys, and that's why when you hit all of the punctuation and the letter keys, you're hearing them spoken, because the punctuation themselves is turned on. So when I read back a sentence, I don't want to hear the period, but when I type it from the keyboard, I do. We have the same control, only this is relative to the keyboard. Let's go down again.
S equals special keys pull down.
Special keys opens up a pull-down menu that groups the other keys on the keyboard, other non-alphanumeric keys and non-punctuation keys. Like your function keys, there's a group. Do you want to hear F1 when you press F1? Do you want to hear Control when you hit Control or Insert when you hit Insert? Those types of keys are defined under special keys. And by default, we have all those keys turned on as well, so pretty much everything on the keyboard is going to speak for you by default. Let's go to the next option.
C equals capitals pitch.
Capitals, this is like the screen option for capitals, the capitalization alert. This capitals option under keyboard is very similar in that when you hit a key, what do you want WindowWise to do that's capitalized? By default, we'll give you an uppercase pitch. So if you're typing a lowercase a, you'll hear AAA. If you hit an uppercase, you'll hear AAA. It just increases the pitch a little bit. You can also have WindowWise say cap before a capital letter as well, or you can just turn it off so you're not even indicated at all that that the letter itself is capitalized. Let's go down.
I equals interruptibility all keys.
Interruptibility, this has a few groups of keys that you can set, but by default, every key on the keyboard, as was said earlier, will interrupt speech. So any key that you press will silence speech to speak the new information. And that's why I've been using the control key a lot, because the control key is obviously any key, but it in itself doesn't do anything to the application, the underlying application. As I said earlier, if I were to hit an A to silence the speech, it would silence. But if I were in a Word, let's say Microsoft Word, and hit an A, it would put an A inside my document. So the control or shift are two good keys just to tap that will just silence speech. And the reason that all keys are silencing the speech is because of this particular setting under the keyboard menu. The next option?
W equals word mode off.
Word mode. As I've been typing inside some of the different sections of this tutorial, you'll notice that it's been speaking each letter as I type it. Well, if I'd rather hear words as I type, I could turn this option on, and as I'm typing along, it wouldn't say anything until I hit the space bar or some terminating punctuation. Then that word would be spoken. Of course, the other option is just to turn the keyboard voice off completely. So I could have absolutely no voice, I could hear each letter as I type it, or I can hear words as I type them. The next option is
K equals keyboard layout pull down.
Keyboard layout. This opens up a pull down menu.
D equals default layout.
Which I opened by pressing the enter key there. And it allows me to change the default layout for many of the keys. There are three options up here. Default layout, which is what we're using. Down arrow.
L equals laptop layout.
Laptop layout, if you're not using a full 101 keyboard, or you, for instance, you're using a laptop, sometimes some of these key presses are hard to do on laptops. So you could hit enter on this option. It will ask you, are you sure you want to do this? And it will go through and redefine all of our default keystrokes for a laptop layout. Or the third option,
V equals vocalize layout.
Some people that are familiar with vocalize back in the old DOS days may feel comfortable with those keystrokes. So by hitting enter here, it would change the windowize commands, most of them, into a vocalize type layout. Or you can go back up to the default. So it's really only suggested that you do this if you don't like the defaults. All of the manual, all of the tutorial that we're talking about are going to be using the default keystrokes. If you do change your keyboard layout, you'll need to go into the manual, into the appendix, that talks about the hotkeys, and it will list the individual keystrokes for each of the individual layouts. I'm going to escape back to the keyboard menu.
Menu closed.
That's the last
option layout pull down
on the keyboard menu. So I'm going to hit escape to go back to the main menu bar.
Menu closed, K equals keyboard pull down.
Hit right arrow to go to the next one, which is mouse.
M equals mouse pull down.
And hit enter to open mouse.
V equals voice global disabled.
The first five options, again, are the exact same for screen, keyboard, and mouse. They're set to global and disabled, so we're using global parameters. I want to go down to the first option under volume.
RPTOY equals mouse boundary active window.
The mouse boundary. Remember we talked about Control-Shift-B to set the mouse boundary. Well, you can also set the mouse boundary here. It goes between focus window, active window, full screen, and user window. So if you change one, you automatically affect the other. Let's go down.
B equals mouse buttons on.
Mouse buttons. When a mouse button is pressed, you want WindowEyes to tell you left, right, middle, whatever, when those buttons are pressed. By default, that is on, so you will hear what button is being pressed. Down again.
U equals pointer up delta 5.
Pointer up delta is 5.
D equals pointer down delta 5.
That's the next one.
L equals pointer left delta 5.
That's the next one.
G equals pointer right delta 5.
These four entries, pointer deltas, up, down, left, and right, are all set to 5. Remember we talked about the keystroke that would allow you to move the mouse pointer around like an Etch-a-Sketch. And we told you you can go in the four directions, and it would, by default, move you 5 pixels every key press in the direction you specified. Well, the 5 pixels came from this setting. You can control how many pixels each key press will move the mouse pointer by using this setting. Go down again.
N equals pointer identification delayed.
Pointer identification tells WindowEyes whether or not you want to hear the mouse pointer as it changes. As was talked about earlier, this feature is not available with WindowEyes under Windows 2000 or Windows XP. But if you're using 95, 98, or Millennium, this option will cause WindowEyes to speak the mouse pointer as it changes whatever it looks like. So you'll hear hourglass, arrow, I-beam, pointer, whatever it is, you'll hear it spoken. Let's go down again.
I equals interruptibility move or click buttons.
Mouse has an interruptibility feature just like the keyboard. Only this one affects the physical mouse itself. So as you move the physical mouse around, what do you want WindowEyes to do as far as interruptibility is concerned? By default, it's set for move or click buttons, meaning anytime you move the mouse to a different clip or you hit a button, it will interrupt the speech. Let's go to the next option.
K equals track mouse with focus off.
Track mouse with focus just says whether or not as the focus moves around, whether it be a caret or you're tabbing around through a dialog box, do you want to take the mouse along with you? If you turn it on, the mouse will follow along.
S equals up down speak line.
I'm going to skip that option.
A equals attribute search selection
I'm
dialogue.
I'm going to skip that one as well.
H equals specify mouse highlight window
and
dialogue.
We'll skip that one. Of course, all those options are talked about in the manual, but it goes a little bit too much in depth to talk about those in the tutorial. So I'm going to hit escape to go out of the mouse menu back to the main menu bar.
Menu closed, M equals mouse pull down.
Hit right to go to the next option, which is hotkeys.
O equals hotkeys.
I'll hit
dialogue.
Enter to open that.
Menu closed. List box. S equals keys dialog hotkeys.
I'm going to silence this, but what this did was open up a dialog box that lists all of the WindowEyes hotkeys. And there are, let's see.
Prior character colon. Undefined one of 172.
This particular version has 172 hotkeys, like reading current character, reading current line, reading the sentence, reading the line under the mouse, reading the status line. All of the keystrokes that I've been talking about, control backslash to pop up the menu, those are all listed in these 173 set of keys. You can go down and easily define any of these keys to be whatever you want. Remember we talked about reading the line underneath the caret was control numpad center. Or in other words, the Control 5 on the numeric keypad. Let's say you don't like that key combination and you'd rather change it. Well, we can go down to the line hotkey, and I'll just hit an L until I get there.
L, line colon, control dash number dash center rate of 172.
So it tells me control numpad center is the current keystroke for line. If I want to change that, I'll get to the item I want, hit tab.
Button. C equals capture key.
Hit enter.
Press a key for line.
Tells me to press a key for line. If I want that to be Control Alt F12, I'll hit this keystroke.
List box. S equals keys. Line colon. Control dash Alt dash F12 8 of 172.
So now to read the line under the caret instead of Control Numpad 5, it is now Control Alt F12. It's that easy to set up a keystroke. Or let me go down to the next one, which is next line.
Next line colon. Undefined 9 of 172.
Next line says read me the line below my caret. Well, that's undefined, because typically if you want to read the line below your caret, you can just hit the down arrow key and it'll move the caret down there and read it. If you really like that keystroke, you could define a keystroke. Or if you never use read current paragraph, instead of tying up that keystroke, you could go down and undefine that key. You have total control over how these keys are defined. Remember when we were in the keyboard with the layout, when you pick like laptop layout, it would go through and redefine a lot of these keys to be easier configured for a laptop keyboard. Or you can go to the default keyboard layout, which is what we have now. But you can go through these options. There's 173 of them. The manual goes through and talks about each one of them and gives a good description of what each of these hotkeys does for you. But this is kind of like what you might think of as having to write a script to do these 173 things. You can think of it as we've already written these 173 scripts, basically. And that's what makes WindowEyes so much easier, is that you don't have to worry about writing a script or doing this type of thing. You just get all of this stuff for free. You just tell it what keystroke you want, and boom, there you go, you can use it. I talked about the hotkeys really quick, but it is a powerful concept and a powerful feature that you can use. So I strongly suggest you go look at the manual and look at all of the hotkeys that are available to you and how you can define those keys if you don't like their default layout. Let me hit escape out of the hotkey dialog.
WindowEyes active explorer point 000 associated explorer point 000.
Because that took me out of the hotkey dialog, it also took me out of the menus this time, because I wasn't in any menu, I was actually in another dialog. So I need to hit the Alt key to go back into the menus, and I can right arrow
pull down
to get past hotkeys.
S-E-K-E-M equals hotkeys.
One more right
dialog.
Arrow.
C equals cursoring dialog.
I'm going to hit enter on this one, and it says dialog, so it tells me right away it's going to open up a dialog window.
Menu closed. List box. S equals keys dialog cursor key definition.
I'm going to silence this, but this is very similar to the hotkey dialog that came up. On the hotkeys, when you press that keystroke, WindowEyes eats that keystroke, doesn't pass it on to the underlying application, and does its thing. So if I'm inside Microsoft Word and I hit Insert T for time and date, Microsoft Word doesn't have a clue that I just pressed that combination. Cursoring keys, however, are a little bit different. They tell WindowEyes to do something, but WindowEyes doesn't block the keystroke. It allows the keystroke to go on through to the underlying application. So some good examples of what a cursoring key would be. Remember inside Microsoft Word, when you went left and right with the arrow keys, it spoke the character as you moved character by character. Or if you did Control Left and Control Right to move word by word by word. Those are Microsoft Word keystrokes, but WindowEyes came in and read what was intuitive to speak for those keystrokes. And the reason is because those keys have been defined as cursoring keys. So right now, the first
left arrow character after undefined.
The first option said left arrow, character after, and undefined. The reason it said character after and undefined is because each keystroke can have two functions associated to it. Well, with the left arrow, typically you just want to hear the character after the caret moves, and that's why character after is the first command, and undefined is the second one, because we don't need a second command for the left arrow key. If we go down to, let's say, control left arrow. Let me go down a couple to get to that.
Control dash left arrow word undefined 3.
Control left arrow is defined to read word as the first command and undefined as the second command, because you typically only need it to read word. But you can go in and define these things to anything that you want them to be. If control home takes you to the beginning of the document, you could have it read the current line. Or you could have it read the current screen. Page up and page down, you would probably want to read the screen contents as you're paging up or paging down through a document. It goes on and on and on, and you can set up to 46 of these keys. I'm not going to go through how to set them up here, but it's similar to the hotkeys. You would go down, you would capture the key combination you want, you'd go through some options to set what you want the first command to be, what you want the second command to be, and you've set it up. Save it out, and you're done. And it will be that way next time you come into that application. So between the cursoring keys and hotkeys, you have a lot of power that you can go in and define for each individual application. I'm going to hit escape to get out of the cursor and key definitions.
Window eyes active.
I'm going to silence that. It took me back out of the menus. I'm going to hit alt to go back into the menus.
F equals
and let's
file
right
pull
arrow
down
to get to the option past cursoring.
SKMOECEG equals general pull down.
I'm going to open up the general menu, but I'm not really going to talk about any of the options because some of these are much more advanced, and again, the manual goes through them. But you would hit enter to open it up.
V equals voice on.
The first option is just voice on. That's a quick way to turn off all of voices. If you turn that off, WindowEyes won't speak anything. So it's good for if you have a dedicated talking application where you don't want WindowEyes to do double speaking for you. And there are other options in here as well. That just goes, there's maybe 15 or 20 different options in here. And again, they're a little bit more advanced, so I'm going to go ahead and skip the general menu altogether. Hit escape to close the general menu. Back to the menu bar.
Menu closed. G equals general pull down.
Hit right arrow to Braille.
B equals Braille pull down.
Enter.
S equals scrolling options, dialog.
Everything having to do with your Braille display is in the Braille menu itself. And there are quite a few options. You have a lot of customability. And I'm going to go quickly through these options, just kind of talking very quickly about each option because, again, there's so much here we can't cover it all in this tutorial. But the manual does go through and talk about each item. The first category under the Braille menu is scrolling options. If I hit enter here,
menu closed.
I'm going to silence that, but it opens up a dialog box and it allows me to set the horizontal scrolling. In other words, when the Braille display has to scroll, you right arrow to the right end of the Braille display and you hit right arrow again, what happens? Well, by default, it's going to scroll the Braille width. So if I have a 40 cell display, it's going to take the caret and move it all the way back to the first cell on my Braille display. Or I could set it and say, instead of scrolling all the way back to the left, scroll maybe one cell or five cells or maybe 20 cells to put my caret back in the center of my Braille display. I can set how much I want it to scroll. I'm going to escape out of this.
Window,
I'm going to quickly go back into the Braille
S
menu.
Equals scrolling options,
and go down
dialogue
to the next
C
option.
Equals control information, dialogue.
Control information.
Menu closed. Radio button. Checked open.
I'm going to silence that, but that opened up a Braille control information dialog, which allows you to do lots of things. On the Braille display, it typically can show three components. It can show the type of control you're on, whether it's a radio button, checkbox, edit box, whatever. The field name of that control, like first name, last name, and then the data, which would be the actual first name or last name of the control. You can tell how you want that information on the Braille display. What order? By default, you're going to see the control type first, then the field name, then the data. But you can put that in any order. So there are six combinations of those three, and there's a radio button that lets you set the order that you want those three components to be displayed on your Braille display. Then you can also say, well, I don't want the field name at all on my Braille display. I never want to see a field name on my Braille display. So you could just get rid of that one. Or you could say, I never want to see the control type. Get that off of the Braille display. Then there's also a checkbox that says include the index. As you notice with speech, as we've been going through lists of options, it'll tell you you're on one of 20. Well, you could also see that in Braille, or you can turn that off. And then there's also the option to allow you to set the separator that you want. What Braille combination do you want to see between these three components, the field type, the field name, and the field data? By default, it's just a blank cell. And then a really nice, powerful feature of this is all of the control types we've been hearing, like edit box, radio button, group box, all of these controls are listed in a list box. And you can then select the particular control you want and tell WindowEyes what you want to see on the Braille display when it comes to that control. You don't want to see, for instance, on your Braille display, radio button spelled out. If you've got an 18-cell display, you've just killed almost all of it with the words radio button. So we've gone in and we've used parentheses with something indicating in between those parentheses if it's checked or unchecked. And the same is true with a checkbox or a button. BT is used for button. MI is used for menu items. And then also within each of those controls, there's something unique to each control. Like maybe a menu item could be a pull-down, or it could be a dialog. How do you want to see that specific information relative to that control type? And you can go through and set all of that information through this particular dialog. I went through that very fast, I know, but that is a very powerful feature and extremely easy to set things up with your Braille display as how you want that information to be displayed. I'll escape off, go back to Braille, and hit enter on the dot patterns, which is the next Braille entry.
Menu closed. Edit box.
I'll silence this and just kind of give a synopsis here, but this allows you to set how you want the caret position to be represented in Braille and how you want the mouse pointer to be represented in Braille. By default, both dot 7 and 8 will blink on the Braille display to indicate that you're either at the carrot position or the mouse position. And by default, the carrot position is going to blink 4 times a second, and the mouse position will blink 2 times a second. You can also, in this particular dialog, set up what you want bolded characters to be represented as, highlighted, italic, strikeout, and underline. Windowized has a feature that will allow you to take your Braille display and rotor it between all of the attributes, those 6 attributes I just mentioned. You can rotor the display so that all the cells will go blank except for characters that are bold. And in this case, you'll see a B because dots 1 and 2 are used to represent a bold pattern. So any character that was bolded, you'll see dots 1 and 2 come up for that character. If you rotor it again, you'll see all the highlighted characters with represented as dots 1, 2, 5, which is an H. And the same is true for italic and strikeout. You can set the patterns that you want to show for each of those 5 different attributes in this dialog. I'll hit Escape.
Window eyes active.
Go back into Braille, and we'll go down to the next one, which is translation tables.
Dialog. Menu closed. Combo box. A equals active.
I'll silence this, but WindowEyes comes with several Braille translation tables for both .6.Braille and 8.Braille. So you can come down here and you can pick the U.S. tables, the U.K. tables, the German tables, whatever tables you want, and then it shows you what each of the individual ANSI characters are represented as. So if you wanted to see what a capital A looked like, you could go to ANSI 65, and you could look at what dot patterns we have represented for that. The nice thing is, though, that you also have 2 user tables here where you can go in and set up your particular dot patterns for all 256 ANSI values. And what a lot of people will do is they'll take our factory table, copy it into a user table, which you can do here very easily, and then modify just a few characters. Unfortunately, there's no 100% standard worldwide for how you want Braille to be represented for all 256 ANSI values. So you can go in and you can define those that are the way that you're used to using Braille if they don't match our factory settings. All that can be done from this dialog in a very simple user interface. I'll escape out, go back to Braille, and cursor down to
hotkeys.
I'll hit enter on hotkeys.
Menu closed. Button.
I'll silence this. Unfortunately, I don't have a Braille display hooked up at the moment, but what this dialog does is it will list all of the individual keystrokes of your particular Braille display. Whatever Braille display you selected, those keystrokes unique to that Braille display will be listed in this dialog, sort of like the hotkey dialog we just saw for the keyboard. Well, this is a hotkey dialog for your Braille display. It will show all of the keystrokes you have and what they're defined to do. The nice thing is that you can very easily set up new hotkeys in this dialog as well. You can go down to the Capture Braille Key button, which is similar to that you saw under the hotkey for the keyboard. Hit Enter, and it'll say press a Braille combination. You go to your Braille display, you press the combination that you want, and WindowEyes can hold up to 32 different keys at one time. And I don't know how you could type that many at one time. So any combination you want, as long as your hardware is capable of doing that, WindowEyes will capture those Braille keys, give you the names of all the keys that you just pressed, or key if you just pressed one, and then allow you to go down and assign it any one of the hotkeys, those 173 hotkeys we talked about. You could assign it to those, or you could assign it to some additional. There's probably close to 20-some-odd specific Braille functions that go on above those 173 hotkeys we saw. Or you could just give it a keystroke. You could just say send out the letter A, and you can do any combinations and any numbers of those functions. So you could say first move my mouse pointer to the beginning of the screen, then start a read to end, then read the status line, then send the application ABCD. You can just go on and on and on and create this huge macro, basically, that just replays all of these keystrokes as if you'd done them from the keyboard. So it's an excellent way and a very simple way to set up how you want your Braille display to interface with your computer system. And you'll see that a lot of the Braille displays that we have factory settings. So there's a lot of those keystrokes that have already been done for you. But if you want to change that, or you want to tweak it, or add some keys, you go right in here. No scripting required. Very simple user interface to go in here and manipulate how you want your Braille keys to be defined. Let me escape out of this dialog. I'll
with
go back to Braille real quick. And we'll go down to
Options dialog.
Options, which is the next one.
Menu closed. Checkbox.
I'll silence this, but this has a whole array of options up here for Braille. The first one is whether or not you want grade 2 to be enabled or not. And again, all of these keys, all of these functionality that we're talking about can also be done from the Braille display. So if you want to turn grade 2 on and off, you don't have to go into our menu and go to this checkbox and turn it on or off. You could set up, and we probably already set one up for your display, a keystroke that you could press on the Braille display to flip between grade 2 and grade, computer Braille. If you do have grade 2 enabled, you have the option of having auto untranslated caret. So as you're going across the line and the caret moves in a word, WindowEyes can automatically untranslate that word. So everything but the word with the caret is in grade 2. The word with the caret is in computer Braille. So that makes it really nice to be able to edit, because obviously when it's in grade 2, you don't see the one-to-one correspondence of what's going on. You can also go between 8 and 6 dot in here. You can also set what attributes you want to see. By default, highlight is turned on. You can set bold, underline, italic, strikeout, or all attributes, meaning it doesn't matter which one of those attributes is on. But if one of those attributes is on and you've enabled this feature, WindowEyes will show dot 7 and 8 up for those characters as well. That tells you that those characters have a particular attribute that you've selected. You can also set whether or not you want to collapse spacing or show spacing. If you want to get as much on your Braille display as possible, you'd probably want to collapse the spacing, which we've done by default. But if you want to get a better feel or layout of what the screen looks like, you could show that spacing. Then finally, we have a really nice feature on here called Quick Message Mode. The Quick Message Mode is a feature that will show in Braille something that is only spoken but not represented on the screen. And a real simple example of that is when you press your caps lock key, you hear caps on, caps off. But let's say you were a deaf-blind individual. How would you know what that was? You can't look at the keyboard. You didn't hear the message. You need some way to be able to hear, or rather feel, these messages that are only spoken and not represented on the screen. And that's what Quick Message Mode is for. By default, Quick Message Mode is on, and it will basically take away whatever was on the display, show you this quick message, and by default, after 2 seconds, remove the Braille display and put it back the way that it was. You can disable this mode if you don't like it. You can turn it on with no timeout, meaning it will stay with the quick message mode until you hit a keystroke. Or you can set the number of seconds that you want the quick message to be up. And we've set that again for 2 seconds. Let me escape out of the Braille options.
With
go back
FB
to Braille.
S equals scrolling options.
And I'm
going to
go up. Instead of scrolling down, I'm just going to go up one, which takes me to the bottom of the Braille menu.
B equals Braille window off.
That's the last option in the Braille menu. This option allows you to set a visual window up on the top of the screen so that a sighted person can see what the characters are that you're feeling on the Braille display. You can turn this window on and off. It's built into WindowEyes. You don't need to bring in a separate application just to get a visual window up on the screen. It's all built in, all integrated. Then there's one more option above this, which I skipped real quick.
G equals graphics.
It was the graphics dialog. This is the last option in the Braille menu that I haven't talked about yet. So I'm going to hit enter.
Menu closed. List box.
I'll silence this, but this allows me to define what I want to do when I come across a graphic on the Braille display. The options are don't show it, show it only if it's been labeled for Braille, or show it if it's labeled for Braille, but if it's not labeled for Braille, then show me the speech label, or only show me the graphic symbol only, or show me Braille if it's labeled, or graphic if it's not, or Braille if it's labeled. If it's not, then show me speech if it's labeled, and if it's not, show me a graphic. And you can set up what you want the graphic symbol to be. We've set it up for 1, 2, 4, 5, which is a G. And so what this does is allows you to set up exactly how you want the graphics to be represented on the Braille display. Because if you remember, when you define with these graphic dictionaries, you have the ability of defining the graphic both for speech and for Braille. So if you want to see something much a shorthanded version in Braille, so it doesn't take up a lot of your cells, but yet maybe have a little more verbose for your speech, you can do that. And this tells WindowEyes how you want to use those labels, if at all, on the Braille display. I went through the Braille options extremely fast, but I think that gives you a basic understanding of how they all work. Let me escape out of that.
WindowEyes Active Explorer point.
I'll silence that. You can hit the Alt key to go back into the menu, and I'll go to the next option after Braille, which is verbosity.
F equals 5 SKMOCT BEV equals verbosity pull down.
Hit enter.
M equals menu global, dialog disabled.
It said menu options global disabled. The next one down.
O equals mouse global, dialog disabled.
All of the verbosity menus, there's menu, mouse, activated, miscellaneous, focused, attribute changes, and MSA. They're all disabled and set for global. This is similar to what we've seen in the screen, keyboard, and mouse voices with the voice parameters. They're disabled and set for global, meaning if I make a verbosity change, I want it to be global. So let's, instead of looking at the verbosity menu here, let's go on to the global menu, and this will all hopefully be a little bit easier to understand. So I'm going to hit escape to close verbosity here because I can't change them because they're set to use my global settings. I could turn the global settings off, and then in this particular settings file, I could set my verbosity settings, and we've done that in some set files for you. But in most cases, you're just going to want the same verbosity no matter what's going on. So let's go to global. I'm going to hit escape.
Menu closed. V equals right verbosity global. Pull down. L equals global pull down.
And hit enter.
G equals global settings voice and verbosity.
This is the first option under global menu, and this is the one that is the reason why our screen, keyboard, and mouse voice parameters are set to global and disabled, and why our verbosity settings are all set for global and disabled. Because under the global menu, it's set for voice and verbosity, meaning for this set file, this settings file, use global voice and global verbosity. So since we're using global, the specific settings under the verbosity menu and the screen, keyboard, and mouse are disabled. When I hit enter on this, it gives me several options. I can set it to voice only, meaning disable all the voice local settings because I'm using global, but allow my verbosity to be changed specific to the set file. Or the other way around, I can set it just to verbosity only, or I can turn it off, or obviously leave it as we've left it here, which is voice and verbosity, which is how the majority of our set files are shipped. So you can just easily go to the global menu and make your specific changes, and it will take no matter what settings file you have loaded. Let's go down.
S equals screen pull down.
Screen is a pull down. I'm going to open that.
V equals voice on.
Voice on.
R equals rate 3.
Rate 3.
P equals pitch 3.
Pitch 3.
T equals tone 9.
Tone 9.
O equals volume 9.
Volume 9. I just down arrowed through those options. Notice those are the same five settings we saw under the screen menu, but the screen menu is disabled. These are not. What I can do here is make my individual changes for rate, pitch, tone, volume, whatever, here. And now, no matter what set file I'm using, as long as that set file is set for global voice, which they are from the factory, that will automatically stick for that settings file. And when I used my keyboard, the insert arrow keys to change my parameters, it also affected this menu as well. So one affects the other. It doesn't matter which way you do it. I find the keyboard to be a much faster way than going through the menu and making the changes, but you can do that through the menu as well. So let me escape back to global.
Menu closed. S equals screen pull down.
I'll down arrow to keyboard.
K equals keyboard
this
pull down.
This is the exact same five settings, only this is for keyboard. Let's go down again.
M equals mouse pull down.
Mouse, again, the exact same five settings for mouse. So I can change all my global parameters for screen, keyboard, and mouse right here. And this is where you do it when it's set for global. Let's go down again.
V equals verbosity pull down.
Here's again all the verbosity settings we just saw in our verbosity menu across the main menu bar, only this one's under global. And this one will be enabled because we're set for global settings. So let me open this.
M equals menu, dialog.
This opens up the submenu of all the verbosity settings that are grouped into different groupings. All of them are menu verbosity. For instance, when I go into the menu, the most you could hear is menu opened, F equals file, pull down. The least amount you could hear would be nothing. You could turn all the verbosity off and you wouldn't hear any of that. Some people don't like the menu opened, and we've actually turned that off by default. Some people don't like to hear F equals part. Some people don't like to hear that it's a pull down. All of that is like an a la carte menu. You can go into this menu dialog, and you'll see a bunch of checkboxes. Say this in this case, say that, don't say this, whatever. You can check and uncheck all the items exactly the way you want to hear the menu item spoken. And the same is true for mouse settings, or activated, when a window gets activation. What do you want WindowEyes to do? Or when a window gets focus, what do you want WindowEyes to do or not do? And there's also some MSA settings and things like that. So there's several options in this verbosity menu. And I would strongly suggest you go to the WindowEyes manual, and it will go into detail about what each of these individual items can do. But this is what gives you a lot of power with WindowEyes as far as what you want to hear, what you don't. You don't have to go into scripting language. to write some fancy script to be able to turn something off. You just go into the menu item, you turn on or off a checkbox, and you got it speaking the way you want it. Let me escape back to global.
Menu closed.
I'm going to go down one.
Velocity pull down. A equals apply settings.
Apply settings. The apply settings is what you need to do if you want all of your global parameters to be made permanent. So when I used my keyboard to the insert four arrow keys to change my rate, pitch, tone, volume, whatever, if I turned off WindowEyes at that point and relaunched it, those settings would be lost. Or if I went to the global menu and changed my verbosity or screen, keyboard, mouse parameters, whatever, and turned off WindowEyes, they would be lost. But before I turn off WindowEyes, if I go down to the apply settings and hit enter, they are then saved. So next time I start WindowEyes, those settings will come back and I won't have to reset them every time. So it's very important if you make a change and you want it to be made permanent, as far as the global changes, you would go to the apply settings and hit enter. All of the other settings that we've talked about, as far as the hotkeys or turning on word mode or interruptibility or any of those types of things that we've talked about, anything non-global, then you would go to the file menu and you would save the set file out. But all the global settings, you go to the global menu, go to apply settings, and hit enter. Let's go down again through, well, actually the rest of the global menu options, and there's like, I don't know, maybe eight or so more options. Those are more advanced, so we're going to skip those. Really all you're interested in right now especially is the how to set the screen, keyboard, mouse, and verbosity global settings, and that's all done with what we just discussed. So let's hit escape to go back to the main menu bar.
Menu closed, L equals global pull down.
And let's go to the last menu option on the WindowEyes control panel, and that is the help menu. So I'm going to hit right arrow.
H equals help pull down.
Hit enter.
W equals WindowEyes manual.
The first option is the WindowEyes manual itself. And when you hit enter on this, it will bring up the Windows help format of the help manual. Let me go ahead and do that now. I'm going to go ahead and hit enter.
Menu closed.
That actually launches WindowEyes
4.2 Windows user's guide. Tree view. Welcome to WindowEyes 4.2 depth 1.
The help within Windows is actually a very nice function if you know how to use it. And they don't really document it too well under Windows. But this brought up the WindowEyes manual in the standard help. Most applications have their manual in this help format. Or they'll have some sort of information in the same format. And that's the nice thing of Windows is once you learn how to use help in one application, it's going to fall through with the other applications as well. The first thing you're sitting in is a tree view, very similar to Windows Explorer that we worked with. Let me just down arrow through this a couple times.
Contact information, warranty information, one introducing WindowEyes closed.
One introducing WindowEyes, but it's closed. So if I down arrow, I'm going to go to the next section.
Two installing WindowEyes closed.
But I'm going to go back up to the first section.
One introducing WindowEyes closed.
And I can hit right arrow to open that.
One introducing WindowEyes expanded 10 items.
Tells me there are 10 sections. There's going to be more under your section, under your manual. I'm going to hit down arrow.
1.1 Welcome to WindowEyes 1 of 10 depth 2.
So once you get to the section you want, what you need to do, and this is very important, is visually I haven't seen anything change other than me going up and down through this tree view. But on the right side of the screen is information relative to whatever section you land on, assuming you hit enter. On the right side of the screen, I'm still seeing the main cover of the help text itself. It hasn't gone to section 1.1, which is what I'm highlighting on the tree view, until I hit enter. And I'll do that now. It doesn't do anything, say anything, because nothing there is really to speak. You're still in the tree view, but you've updated the text on the right half of the screen, and now visually it is showing. To get to the right half of the screen, to actually read the contents of section 1.1 after you selected it, you hit the F6 key.
Loading page. Load done. Section 1 introducing WindowEyes 1.1. Welcome to WindowEyes.
I'm going
to
silence that, but that's all I did. I hit F6, and it brought me right into the help screen. And the nice thing of this is once I'm in this help screen, all the keys we talked about for using Internet Explorer or Acrobat Reader, all those same keystrokes can now be used inside the Windows help document that you have here. So I can up and down arrow, I can left and right, I can do all sorts of things. If there are links within my help document, and there are within the WindowEyes manual, because it'll say like see section 5.3, well that'll be a link. So you can go to that see section 5.3, hit enter, and boom, you're in section 5.3 and it's reading to you. So it's an excellent way to be able to read through this manual in a very formatted fashion versus just reading the text files, which you could do as well, but this is just kind of a handy way and it's always there no matter what you want to do, you can read it. So if you hit F6 again,
tree view, 1.1, welcome to Windows Live 1 of 10 Depth 2.
And there's where you can select the section that you want. You hit Enter to open up that section. You hit F6 to go into that section, and it'll start reading for you. F6 to go back to the tree view. Very nice way to use the help. And again, if you go into any Windows application, and they're using the standard Windows help, which most of them do, these keystrokes will work for you there as well. I'm going to go ahead and Alt F4, which will close the help screen. Puts me back to the desktop. I'm going to use Control Backslash because it closed down WindowEyes when it opened up the help. So I'm going to do Control Backslash to open up WindowEyes.
WindowEyes active.
I'll silence that. And I can do an Alt H to go back into the help menu.
H. W equals WindowEyes manual.
And it highlighted the first option again. But I'm going to go down to the next one.
R equals WindowEyes readme.
The readme file is very important to be able to read. Notice it was also in the start menu under the WindowEyes group. There was a readme file as well. Or you can come up here and hit enter, and it will launch Notepad and bring in our readme file, which has the latest and greatest changes above and beyond what you'll find in the manual. Down arrow again.
U equals WindowEyes update.
WindowEyes update is nice in that it will go off to the web, so you need to be connected to the web, to the internet at that point. It will go off, go to gwmicro.com's homepage, webpage, and it will look to see what version you currently have and tell you if there are any updates or anything like that. So it's a really nice way to go off and see if there are any upgrades that are available. You can also use it to register your copy of WindowEyes. So you can go online after you get your copy of WindowEyes, go in and register it so that we have your name, address, phone number, so that we can contact you when there are updates and things like that. So it's very important that you register your copy of WindowEyes. And one more down arrow.
A equals about WindowEyes dialog.
Is almost every Windows application under the help menu is going to have an about that application. This will pop up a dialog. I'll hit enter.
Menu closed. Button OK. Dialog about WindowEyes. Close WindowEyes 4.2 February.
Okay, this popped up a dialog that it started reading and I silenced it. But the nice thing is this is, one, it shows you the version number. If you call for technical support, we want to make sure you know the version number of your WindowEyes, because that's very important for us to be able to help you if you have problems. But it also gives you the serial number of your copy of WindowEyes. If you hit tab one time,
read only, edit box, serial number public beta.
Okay, your 10-digit serial number will be right here, and you're in a read-only edit box, so you can use the left and right arrow keys. I'm going to hit home to go to the beginning of the edit box, and then right arrow to go letter by letter.
U, B, L, I, C, B, E, T, A.
Okay, I'm using the public beta here for this tutorial, but you'll have a 10-digit number that will actually be represented in this serial number, because there are going to be times when we might need that. I'm going to escape back out of this.
WindowEyes active. WindowEyes 0.000.
I'll silence that. I'll escape out of the WindowEyes control panel, and I'm back to the desktop again. So this concludes the control panel section. As you can see, there's lots of options. I spent a lot of time talking about some of them. I just totally flashed over some of the others. But this hopefully will give you an idea of how powerful and all the features that you have within WindowEyes. And of course, you don't need to use them all. You just use what's important to you in your particular environment. So let's go on to the next section. Summary. Many concepts have been discussed in this tutorial. It was designed to give you a basic understanding of how WindowEyes interacts with your computer system. There's a great deal more that WindowEyes can do. Please take the time to read the WindowEyes manual and get other tutorials regarding your operating system and/or applications. Regardless, it will take time and commitment on your part to fully understand those concepts of most importance to you. Simply take it one step at a time. You have one of the most powerful stable screen readers available at your disposal. Let it work with you and not against you. I wish you all the best in your future computing endeavors. This concludes the WindowEyes 4.2 tutorial.